Same-sex behavior across animal species, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
This bill strips LGBT Americans of basic workplace protections, saying it is once again legal for your LGBT neighbors and family members to be fired because of who they are.
As the father of daughters, I'm not terribly excited about men being able to go alone into a bathroom with my daughter.
The idea that trans people are a dangerous presence in bathrooms or a threat to our children is a lie. And worse, it's not even a new lie. It's the oldest lie in the book.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Namibia to nix old sodomy laws, penguin lesbian families grow proudly at a London aquarium, and of God, toilets, and U.S. Republicans 2016. Those stories and more this week because you discovered This Way Out.
I'm Melanie Keller.
And I'm Michael Taylor Gray.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending May 22nd, 2021. Namibia's Justice Minister, Yvonne Dosa, announced this week that the decriminalization of gay sex is now on the government's agenda. It's among recommendations to overturn 34 obsolete laws by the Law Reform and Development Commission. The Commission's report on repeal of obsolete laws was accompanied by a separate report on the abolishment of the common law offenses of sodomy and unnatural sexual offenses, which specifically ban anal sex. Dosab told the Windhoek Observer that the recommendations were not yet law. She called them informed conclusions based on legal research and said that no Namibian should be comfortable with any part of our society being excluded or stigmatized and discriminated against on the basis of their sexual orientation. The Commission's report stated that the very existence of a ban on men having sex with men violates the fundamental rights of the individuals who could be affected, as well as creating and reinforcing a culture of homophobia and intolerance against LGBT+ people. It concluded that such a ban interferes with the constitutional and international law rights of individuals in Namibia. And for that reason, the continued existence of this law cannot be justified. The government's proposal still must survive the legislative process before gay male sex is decriminalized. However, Justice Minister Dosab told local media in the South African nation's capital of Windhoek that she expects a bill to go before the National Assembly before the year ends.
Namibia marked another milestone just before the government's announcement about decriminalizing gay sex. It issued emergency travel documents to allow the twin daughters of Philip Lal and his Mexican husband Guillermo Delgado to come home. Lal and the surrogacy birth twins have been stranded in South Africa. According to Reuters, a cabinet shuffle in April made the difference. The Home Affairs Ministry had ordered that Lal first prove a genetic link to the twins before they could legally enter the country. The High Court refused to overturn the order. The new Home Affairs Minister removed the government's opposition to the twins entering the country, but Lal told Reuters that they then would not be able to leave Namibia. The couple has been fighting for their two-year-old son's citizenship, and 2 weeks ago, the government issued him an emergency passport. Lal said the couple will now seek passports for their baby daughters so they can all travel as a family. A statement from the Home Affairs Ministry noted that the documents it has issued have no bearing on any of the children's citizenship applications, even if the twins are given emergency passports. The ministry is awaiting the final resolution of the High Court order that Lal also prove his genetic link to the couple's son.
The U.S. State Department has reversed yet another policy of the preceding administration. This one denied citizenship to a child born outside the country to a married same-gender couple with at least one U.S. spouse, unless the child has a genetic relationship to the U.S. citizen parent. The previous department considered those children of legally married same-gender couples to have been born out of wedlock. A number of gay couples whose surrogate babies were born in another country had sued. U.S. citizenship is routinely granted to children born to married heterosexual couples overseas. The Biden administration's State Department announced the policy change on May 18th. It notified all U.S. overseas posts and Congress that U.S. citizenship should be granted to children both overseas through assisted reproductive technology to either heterosexual or same-gender couples as long as at least one parent has a genetic relationship to the child. The policy change is retroactive, so all the couples who had sued the previous administration can now reapply to get U.S. citizenship for their children. Lawyers from Immigration Equality and Lambda Legal represented several queer couples in lawsuits challenging the previous policy. Immigration Equality Executive Director Aaron Morris joined the celebration, saying that, "We have once again affirmed that it is not biology, but love that makes a family."
The Serbian government has recalled its ambassador to Poland, Nikola Žirovats, joined some 40 other mostly European ambassadors in signing a letter expressing support for the Polish LGBTQ community. It was issued on May 17th to mark the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, and Transphobia. That was not the best timing for Ambassador Žirovats. The letter was released a day before Serbian Foreign Affairs Minister Nikola Selaković was due to visit Poland, and his trip was postponed because of the ruckus. The far-right Polish government has fomented local declarations of anti-queer LGBT-free zones across the country, so their displeasure with the support letter was not surprising. Serbia's government said that Žirovats had failed to get its approval before he signed the letter. Minister Selaković claimed that the issue was not its content, but the failure of the Serbian ambassador to sign a document without informing the person responsible for his work.
The state of Tennessee continues to lead the charge against transgender young people in the U.S. Governor Bill Lee signed three more measures into law this week. One bathroom bill allows public schools to be sued by anyone offended by their allowing trans students, teachers, or staff to use sex-segregated bathrooms and locker rooms that conform to their gender identity. The law rejects the very existence of transgender people by defining sex strictly as a person's immutable biological sex as determined by anatomy and genetics existing at the time of birth. 3 days later, Lee signed a second bathroom bill that requires private businesses and public venues to post signs outside their bathroom and changing rooms if they allow trans people to use the appropriate facilities. Perhaps the cruelest bill Governor Lee signed outlaws gender-affirming medical care for transgender young people. Arkansas is the only other state to do that, at least so far. Lee already signed bills to ban transgender athletes from competing in school sports and to require advance notice so that parents can opt out of LGBTQ-inclusive classroom sessions. Human Rights Campaign President Alfonso David warned in a media statement that patients, parents, and healthcare providers should be guided by science and medical best practices, not the whims of the state legislators. HRC recently counted more than 20 anti-queer bills that have become law in Republican-controlled U.S. states in less than the first 5 months of 2021, and that breaks a record for a full year.
Finally, the states of hate are apparently not being penalized by the National Collegiate Athletic Association. Cities in Tennessee, Alabama, and Arkansas were announced this week as hosts of NCAA postseason softball regional playoffs. This despite the NCAA's bold Board of Governors statement last month that only locations where hosts can commit to providing an environment that is safe, healthy, and free of discrimination should be selected. All three states have laws on the books banning transgender athletes from competing in school sports. The U.S. Collegiate Sports Authority previously issued a statement in support of transgender girls and women competing in their identified gender after taking testosterone-suppressing drugs for at least 12 months. The organization moved basketball tournament games out of North Carolina in 2017 after the Republican legislature and governor passed the country's first notorious bathroom bill. According to the Associated Press, the NCAA usually picks baseball and softball regional sites based on team performance, quality of facilities, and financial considerations. COVID-19 protocols also factored into the selections this year. Oklahoma City is scheduled to host the Women's College World Series starting on June 3rd. A trans in sports ban is working its way through the Republican-dominated Oklahoma State Legislature now, and Governor Kevin Stitt has signaled his support for it. $20 million that the World Series would generate for the city is at stake. The queer advocacy groups GLAAD and Athlete Ally published an open letter to the NCAA last week urging the sports authority to repeat the actions it took against North Carolina's bathroom bill. A follow-up statement expressed the group's disappointment with the NCAA's decision to go directly against its stated anti-bias policy and allow hate states to host those events. As of this recording, the NCAA has had no comment.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending May 22nd, 2021. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. It's written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian Teshazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can read the transcript and listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm Michael Taylor Gray. Stay healthy.
And I'm Melanie Keller. Stay safe.
This is about bigotry. Plain and simple.
This opens the door for all kinds of issues with men deciding one day that they want to be women and then switching back the next day.
You've heard it all before. Again, later in the program.
I love animals.
They can walk and fly.
I love animals.
They can swim and crawl.
I love animals.
Colorful and wonderful.
Animals. 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 Animals.
There's something else that animals can do. Same-gender relationships. Fans of London's Sea Life Aquarium were wildly enthusiastic for its post-pandemic reopening this week, eager to get their first look at lesbian Gentoo penguin newlyweds Marmalade and Chickpea. The pair is doubling the aquarium's queer community this mating season as they join Marama and Rocky, a female penguin couple who are still nesting together after raising a chick in 2019. They're not unique. Here's the real truth about the birds and bees your parents may not have told you.
Same-sex behavior across animal species. Coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. In the animal kingdom, same-sex courtship, pair bonding, and copulation is a nearly universal phenomenon. Such behaviors are observed in a wide range of species, according to Nathan Bailey and Marlene Zuck of the University of California. They report that same-sex activities are not the same across species. To illustrate, Bailey said that male fruit flies may court other males because they lack the gene that enables them to discriminate between the sexes, whereas same-sex interactions between male bottlenose dolphins facilitates group bonding, and female lays and albatross form unions to rear their young. The researchers caution applying human categories of sexual orientation to animals, saying, "It is impossible to know what animals desire. We can only observe what they do." The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Brian Smith.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis.
I'm Margaret Cho.
This is Edmund White.
Hi, I'm Kate Quinton.
Hello, I'm Armistead Maupin.
I'm Clive Barker.
This is Judy Shepard.
Hello, this is Ian McKellen.
I'm Joey Jewell.
I'm Stephen Fry.
I'm Harvey Milk.
Hi, this is Janice Ian.
My name's Robbie Rogers.
This is Essex Hemphill.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres.
I'm Tab Hunter.
I'm Billy Bean.
This is John Cameron Mitchell.
Hello, I'm Bruce Valanche.
This is Bishop Gene Robinson.
I'm Robbie Kaplan.
I'm Andrew Sullivan.
This is Augustine Burroughs.
I'm Barney Frank.
I'm Cleve Jones.
My name is Kate Kendall.
I'm Dan Savage.
This is Leah Delaria.
I'm Reverend Troy Perry.
Hi, I'm Daryl Stevens, and you've discovered
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
This Way Out.
The international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
How dare they?
And those who love them.
You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
And that's the truth.
Are you signed up for our new e-newsletter, Inside This Way Out? We send them out every few weeks, briefly reviewing recent and previewing upcoming programming and deepening the conversation about your favorite international LGBTQ radio show.
All you have to do to receive Inside This Way Out messages is email us at info@thiswayout.org. And be assured that we don't share or sell your email address or anything about you to anyone else, and we never will.
Find out about our upcoming virtual Pride event, James Baldwin, a This Way Out teach-in, live streaming on Instagram and YouTube June 25th, 2021.
Again, to receive the occasional Inside This Way Out and let us know you are listening, email us at info@thiswayout.org.
Recycled Republican reactionary rage never seems to get old in U.S. politics, so religious freedom fights and bathroom bill bombasts are back in the news. The four-month-old Biden administration has made valiant efforts to stop the open season on LGBTQ rights that his predecessor's party has declared. However, the homo and transphobia on the legislative landscape today sound a lot like the discrimination debates that were making headlines 5 years ago this month. This Way Out's Lucia Chappelle reported on two dramatic moments in May of 2016.
It was Robert's Rules of Chaos in the U.S. House of Representatives on May 19th when the right to discriminate against people on the basis of religious beliefs came to the floor.
This bill writes anti-gay bias into federal law.
Out Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney of New York offered an amendment to strike a stipulation from a major defense spending bill that grants that right to religious corporations, associations, and institutions that receive federal contracts.
It strips LGBT Americans of basic workplace protections by reversing the president's anti-discrimination orders, saying it is once again legal for your LGBT neighbors and family members to be fired because of who they are. This is wrong. This is not about supporting our troops. It's not about fighting ISIS. It's not about religious protections. We can do all that, and we should. This is about bigotry, plain and simple. When my husband and I got married after waiting 22 years, so many of you expressed your support. Will you now look me in the eye and say it would be okay for me to lose my job over it?
Pacifica Radio's Mark Miracle reports on what happened soon thereafter.
On this vote, the ayes are 212, the nays are 213. The amendment is not adopted.
Shouts of shame, shame, shame erupted in the House of Representatives as Republican lawmakers narrowly defeated legislation to protect the civil rights of LGBT employees of government contractors. According to the count in the House chamber, the measure, an amendment to a Veterans and Military Construction spending bill, initially had enough yes votes to pass, but ultimately it failed by one vote. House Republican leaders extended the time allowed for the vote as they urged enough party members to change their positions to defeat it by a vote of 213 to 212.
Mr. Speaker,
House Democratic Whip Steny Hoyer of Maryland.
I want to raise a parliamentary inquiry initially with reference to the fact that Mr. Ryan, our Speaker, has told us if people were in the well that the vote would be held open. I was standing in the well. No one came, or no one had the courage to come into the well to change their vote. But notwithstanding that, the vote kept changing. Mr. Speaker, from a parliamentary perspective, how is that possible?
The chair was entertaining requests for changes.
I saw no one come to the desk to change their vote, Mr. Speaker.
Does the gentleman have a parliamentary inquiry?
The parliamentary inquiry is, How can the vote change when no one comes to the well to change their vote?
The chair had not yet announced the request for changes.
I didn't hear the chair request change, but I do know that from my own personal observation, not one of those members who apparently changed their vote because it kept changing on the board came to this well and had the courage to change from green to red or red to green. How is that possible, Mr. Speaker?
Nancy Pelosi, the House Democratic leader, said in a statement, House Republicans are so committed to discriminating against LGBT Americans that they broke regular order to force their members to reverse their votes and support Republicans' bigotry. Republicans who backed the provision said it was necessary to protect the religious rights of military contractors and not intended to be discriminatory.
In early voting, Maloney's amendment was ahead by 6 votes, so 7 Republicans had to have changed their votes for the final one-vote loss. According to a May 20th story in Capitol Hill's newspaper of record Roll Call, not just 7, but closer to 30 Republicans actually changed their votes on anti-LGBT bias. Only 29 GOP members voted for the Maloney amendment this week. 60 Republicans voted last year for a similar amendment upholding President Obama's ban on federal contractors practicing employment discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity.
A week after that May 2016 battle, the war moved to the state level, where Republican lawmakers launched attacks on transgender bathroom users.
Step to the left, now step to the right. Put your knees together and squeeze them tight. Keep your arms moving side to side. Try to hold it in till it's time to ride. Knock, knock, let me in. Knock, knock, let me in. I gotta go. Knock, knock, let me in. Knock, knock, let me in. I gotta go.
Texas led more than a dozen U.S. states in a federal lawsuit this week challenging the Obama administration's guidelines concerning transgender students in public schools that receive federal funding. The original plaintiffs included Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Utah, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. Soon, far-right Maine Governor Paul LePage, the Arizona Department of Education, 2 school districts in Arizona and Texas, and Mississippi's Governor Phil Bryant joined in. Their target is the interpretation of federal civil rights laws that ban discrimination based on sex issued by the U.S. Justice and Education Departments in mid-May. A number of courts have already agreed that those provisions protect transgender people, too. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton took the opportunity to demonstrate his total ignorance about transgender people when he told Fox News why he was leading the charge.
This opens the door for all kinds of issues with men deciding one day that they want to be women and then switching back the next day. It's just, it doesn't answer any particular question.
A statement issued by ACLU LGBT rights director James Essex pointed out that the Obama administration didn't make the law. It simply applied the law and guidelines. Essex called the lawsuit a political stunt, saying that if these attorneys general disagree with the agency's interpretation of what the federal ban on sex discrimination means, they can make that argument to the court when it arises in a real case. Perhaps all the opponents of the Obama administration's transgender guidelines should take notes during this abbreviated but pointed history lesson from NBC's Late Night with Seth Meyers.
Why is everyone arguing about bathrooms now? Well, it turns out this move is nothing new. In fact, fighting over bathrooms is the oldest move in the prejudice playbook. And if you're not into books, it's also available as a digital download. America has a long history of using bathrooms to scare people, and it makes sense because bathrooms are pretty scary to begin with. You're cut off from the world, your pants are down, the lighting is terrible. And politicians are happy to exploit that fear. But first, a little history. Separate bathrooms for men and women began in the 1800s when women started working in factories. Women needed bathrooms, whereas men were shocked to learn women even used bathrooms. Now, after the Civil War, Jim Crow laws forced African Americans to use different bathrooms than white Americans. And then in the 1980s, there was a movement to keep gay men from using public restrooms because people were afraid they'd catch AIDS from a toilet seat. Of course, that can't happen. But telling a minority group that they're not allowed to use the same bathroom everyone else uses is a well-worn strategy used to make minorities feel like crap, pun intended. But proponents of the so-called bathroom bill don't want you to see their bills as prejudice. They want you to think they're trying to protect the children.
As the father of daughters, I'm not terribly excited about men being able to go alone into a bathroom with my daughters.
When you start bringing in 7-year-old children co-mixing in the bathroom, it's going to be chaos.
First of all, these guidelines are not forcing boys and girls to shower together. Second of all, anywhere 7-year-olds co-mix, it's going to be chaos. But it turns out that's another classic move used against minority groups, painting them as child predators. Just ask gay men. For decades, they were barred from being teachers or scout leaders, even though study after study has shown there is zero correlation between being a child molester and being gay. When conservatives claim that trans people are preying on children, then that they shouldn't be allowed to use the bathroom they want to use, it's not a response to an actual problem. It's an age-old scam used to mobilize people against a vulnerable minority group. You know who actually needs protection? Trans people. 25% of trans Americans have lost their job because of their identity. 20% have been homeless at some point. 90% have been denied health care. And 70% of trans people have experienced some form of harassment in a public bathroom. The idea that trans people are a dangerous presence in bathrooms or a threat to our children is a lie. And worse, it's not even a new lie. It's the oldest lie in the book.
In the same way that state bans on civil marriage for same-gender couples were ultimately overturned, challenges to these discriminatory anti-trans laws will probably be decided in the U.S. Supreme Court.
Get everything old is a new again.
That was This Way Out's Lucia Chappell reporting in May of 2016. Sean Patrick Maloney still represents New York in the U.S. Congress, where James Clyburn of South Carolina is now the Democratic House Majority Whip. Seth Meyers still hosts Late Night on NBC, and Ken Paxton continues to champion bias as the Attorney General of Texas. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Melanie Keller and Michael Taylor Gray, produced by Brian DeShazer, from Brian Smith, produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, and from Lucia Chappell. Some of the music you heard was performed by Pink Fong, Peter Allen, and from the Teen Titans TV series. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yovana Foundation, a bequest from Christopher David Trentum, and donors Paul Bannon and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078 USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KBOO Albany, Corvallis, Hood River, Oregon, 2MIA Griffith, New South Wales, WELT Fort Wayne, Indiana, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.